In the 23rd Psalm, I know a lot of preaching done on the 23rd Psalm. We find here in the first verse that there's the shepherd, there's the sheep, and there's the supply. And there's a lot that goes in with all that and what God does for us and how he helps us in this area of our life. And you know, life gets hard and it gets tough, and I don't see how lost folk make it. I really don't. Man, there's times that you just run into a block wall, it seems like, and you don't know what to do, don't worry, everything's fell apart. And man, if we didn't have somebody that's much greater than us to turn to, and I don't see how they... I guess that's why a lot of alcohol and drugs are so popular. I don't know how they get through it. But, man, I'm glad that I got a shepherd.
Amen.
That will help me.
Amen.
And lead us and guide us and protect us. We find here in this psalm, the Bible said that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Father, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be here. We want to thank you, Lord, for this church, for this people. Thank you, Lord, for Brother McCulley and Sister McCulley. Lord, I just pray that you'd bless them this week and help them, dear God. Give them that encouragement. Give them, Lord God, that stirring, Lord God, to just refresh them as they come back, dear God, and to continue in their ministry. Pray, God, that you just keep them safe and give them traveling mercies. Lord, I know that you said where any two shall agree is touching anything. Lord, we know that there's several of us that can agree tonight, knowing that you can touch this hurricane as it's coming. Lord, you can turn it to go anywhere you want it. Lord, you can just speak the word, and the winds obey you. So I just pray, God, that you'd have your will and have your way in this situation, and we'll bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. A few things here. We'll start here in this psalm and see where we go. He said, as far as the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's some reasons why we don't have to want. Number one is because of who he is. He is the Lord. He's Jehovah.
Amen.
That uppercase L-O-R-D speaks of Jehovah. But here's the sad thing. A lot of good church members, a lot of saved folk never have known him as Jehovah. That intimate, you know, what did he tell Moses about it? Hey, you never knew me. Those people there in the wilderness, the children of Israel, they never knew me as Jehovah. That intimacy, that relationship of him, that Jehovah Jireh, I mean, there's a whole list of things there about who he is and what he does. But he is our shepherd. And we don't have to want because of who he is. We don't have to want because that he is the self-existent and the eternal one.
Yes.
He is the supreme one. He surpasses all others in excellence. He is the glory and the almighty God. And the Bible tells us also, in Isaiah 12:2, he said, behold, God is my salvation. It's personal. I'm glad he's personal to me. I will trust, not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength. So another personal, he's my song, and he also is become my salvation. Why, that salvation there, that deliverance is continual. In warfare is my song, that is instrumental music, from the sense of striking with the finger to the touch of strings. His finger touches the strings of our heart and making a joyful noise. And then he said, he's my strength, that security, that force. You see, he says, the Bible talks about him in many areas. There's Psalm 91, different places about his strength and his power. We don't have to fear because of him.
Amen.
We don't have to be concerned. We are concerned. That's human nature to be. We worry about tomorrow. Worry about bills that hadn't got here yet. We worry about things. But we really shouldn't if we're trusting in him.
Amen.
Ain't nothing ever caught him off guard.
Amen.
We don't have to want because of what he does, why he shepherds us. He tends to us. That is, he supplies for us. Those ETHs there is always, continues. It's what he's doing now and is what he'll continue to do. What does he do? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That word green, they're talking about a sprout, tenderness. It's what makes us prosperous. It's what life at its best. He's given us that nourishment that we need to sustain us and help us to grow. And he leadeth me beside the still waters. Well, that leadeth there means to run with a sparkle. It's a luminous particle that causes us to shine and to give forth light. And the more that we abide in his lustrous pastures, the more that we drink from his nutritious word, and the more that we grow, then the more that we will shine. You see, that's why the world can't really tell a lot of Christians from just regular worldly folk. Like Brother Tim was talking about, man, the ignorance concerning the Word of God that's in the churches today. I mean, it's a shame. I know churches, man, I mean, they stand on what the pastor says. And you can take that book, the Bible, open it up before them and get them so confused they don't know what's up and what's down. Only thing they'll do, they'll run back and say, well, my pastor says, well, who cares? What'd God say? Well, they can't answer that. Well, hey, we need God to give us all this right here that we can learn from it. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Verse 3 there, he restoreth my soul, and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, that's our walk there. He restoreth and turns back to hence away. And so he deals with all these things in our life. Is that other word there, leadeth there. It's different in this verse than it is in the previous verse. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Here he said that he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. That leadeth there means to drive forth as driving a chariot. To lead forth. He turns from what's wrong and what's wicked. He deals with our peace. He said, oh, we pass through from one side to the other. Shadow defines limits. And then he deals with our companionship and deals with our fellowship there with the table that is prepared for us. But it said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now that right there actually gets into our responsibility. That goodness and mercy, that goodness means to do good. Mercy means to show kindness toward God. And so the word there that says it follows me, well, that's not just, you know, passively following around with us. It's more like that police officer over in Fairmount a couple weeks ago when I went by. This is what that follow is. It's to get in pursuit of with the intent to overtake. And he had that definition down pretty good because he done it well. And that's what it's on. Hey, it's to overtake us. It's to help us to move forward. But then as we go through all these things here about our shepherd, and I mean there's so much more in there, You can spend weeks up here and dealing with this subject on the shepherd and then on the sheep and man on the supply. But then we get to Psalm 24, and as I got to the 24th Psalm, and I just could not, I'm telling you, for 2 weeks I prayed over this thing. And I'm not one for messing with commentaries. I just don't. I even got to the point I started reading a commentary on the 24th Psalm. I'm like, Lord, you got to give me something. You got to help me with something. Because, I mean, it's coming down to it. I mean, I'm finishing up on the 23rd. I got to get to the 24th. You got to give me something. So Friday, Saturday night, he started leading me into this thing. He said, find the chief thing about this psalm. What is that? That's the Lord. Well, then, if you ever count your Bible, and it's very interesting, I counted it 17 times that he's made reference to. 17 times he talks about the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Amen. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. So I counted up all that in 17 references that he made here to the Lord of glory. To him, to he, the Lord, the King of kings and the King of glory. And so when I got to studying on the number 17, the number 17 in this number, we get an example of how the Holy Spirit uses more advanced arithmetic to bring out spiritual truths. 17 is a very well marked number in Scripture. It is the seventh prime or divisible number. Now, all through the Scripture, 17 bears relations to number 7, and it is revealed as bearing significance of victory. Complete victory in Christ. See, that's what's ours as believers. The 22nd Psalm is the shepherd that went to the cross. The 23rd is he rose again, and the 24th, we all get to rise again. Then we all get to reign with him. He's going to be back in glory. We ain't going to have to worry about all this political junk anymore. Amen. It's going to all rest on him. So as we see here about this number 17 and begin to study on that and go back and look at different things, and it was actually amazing on how it all just wraps right here really around the 24th Psalm. In Genesis chapter 5, we find the patriarchs here. We find the oldest man that ever lived as far as recorded. This is the man that's the son of the man that walked with God. Presumably a very godly man himself. You can divide his age by 17 and have no remainder. 969 multiplied by 17 gives you 57. The complete age of Methuselah. He was 187 when he begot Lamech, which is also divisible by 17. And no other patriarch is this true of. No other can you do this with. But you can take Lamech from the time that he gave birth to Noah on and divide by 17. It's divisible with no remainder. You say, what's significant about that? Well, Methuselah, which means when he is dead, shall be sent. It shall be sent. What happened shortly after his death? The flood. judgment came upon the earth. So God, in the ages of these two men, Methuselah, to be the one whose death should be the sign of the judgment to come, and Lamech, of whom was born Noah, the man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, as well as just and perfect, as 100% man, to be preserved through the flood, marked with the number 17, which is victory. So as you study out their lives and see what they've done, and what happened around their lives and centered around their lives, you see a message that God was bringing to his people and showing them that there is victory. There's victory with him. There's victory with walking in his ways. There's victory whenever we submit ourselves to him. And in spite of all the wickedness of man, and God purposed and provided victory for the lives of the believers. God's ark provides salvation or victory for Noah and his family. And of all the Antediluvian patriarchs, we only read of two who the Bible actually says that walked with God. Enoch, the Bible said, walked with God. Enoch, there's a picture of the rapture of the church as the church is raptured out before the judgment falls. But then there's Noah. That's also, as the Bible talks about in chapter 6, it said that Noah walked with God in verse number 9. And Noah and the ark, as they're going through the judgment, they're showing a picture of the Jews and those that are saved that goes through the tribulation period. There's victory for them. And they get to go through that thing and not be bothered of it. Why, there's victory in Jesus. Enoch was the seventh from Adam. Noah was the tenth from Adam. Seven is completeness. Ten is testimony. You put them together, 17, you have victory. All throughout the Bible, you find in different areas where God uses these numbers and brings them together and shows a message that's within them. And then he shows also that on the same day, the 17th day of the seventh month, years later, God shows out again. Hey, God loves to show out whenever we let him. Oftentimes, we don't let him. Amen. Oftentimes, God's wanting to do something big in our lives, and we suppress him and not allow him to do what he's wanting to do. Amen. But here's another picture here. We look at several scriptures and pull this thing in together. And so we find in Exodus chapter number 8 and verse number 27, the Bible said that we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, and he shall command us. And then also in chapter number 12, we find in verses 1 through 13, he said, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month shall ye take of them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, and a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall take your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out of the sheep. From the sheep and from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses therein. They shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and the bitter herbs. They shall eat it. And he goes on here, and you know the picture of this, of our Savior here. And so he's drawing a line together here with the 14th day and the 3 days' journey. And what you get out of it there is the 17th. See, he made this, the Israel went out of Egypt on the 14th day, which is deliverance of the month, and they made a 3 days' journey, which is resurrection or divine completeness, which is on the 17th day, meaning of the month, crossing the Red Sea. through the sea, picture of the resurrection. See, this is where we get to in our lives. So many times we get to this part right here as they've gone out from Egypt and they're going out into the wilderness now, and they've gone out there and they've wound up in a spot that looks like certain death. There's no way out of this. Here's the Red Sea behind them. Here's the army, the enemy that's coming toward them. Where do they go? They're now in a fix, as you will. I mean, oftentimes we get in them predicaments, and we look and we say, Lord, what in the world have you done? Why have you got us to this point? There in chapter 13, verse 20, he said, and they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud and led them in the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light and to go by day and night. So he's led them, and he's led them into this place. In chapter 14, it said, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Hath-heroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall you encamp by the sea. Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. They left on the 14th day. 3 days later, here they are. They're in a mess. I'll tell you, I've been there. Leslie and I have been there for not just a few days or a few weeks or months, but a few years now. Several years. We've been praying, man. I'm telling you what, you can see just as the Israelites do. We criticize them often. Say, man, after all that God showed them, they went through the wilderness with only one pair of shoes. The children started out with what shoes they had on their feet, and when they're 40 years later, they're still wearing the same pair of shoes. They never wore out. They never waxed old. What a miracle. They wanted meat. God sent in meat. And they still griped and grumbled and complained and said, God, what have you done? You've forsaken us. And we talk about them and what they do, and then we turn around and do the same thing. I do. How many times over the last few years has we been where we're at, and I'm saying, Lord, what are you doing? It'd been better if I'd have just stayed where I was at. Hey, we do that. Sometime, I'll be honest, man, I laid in a motel room one evening after we'd been to a doctor and gotten test results. And man, I'm laying there, I said, Lord, I said, here I am. I have submitted everything, committed everything to you, and now you're killing me. I mean, it looked that way. I mean, they said there's cancer in the pancreas, cancer in the spleen, cancer in the prostate. I said, Lord, that's a death sentence. I'm dying. Here, I've given everything up to serve you, and now you're going to kill me. Well, that's several years ago. I'm still going. But you know what happens when we get in that area? This is what the Lord's wanting to show up and show out in our life. And that's exactly here they are. Their backs are everywhere. And Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. But in verse 13, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. Hey, down in verse 25, the Bible says, and took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them. On the 17th day, there was victory. On the 17th day, God showed out one more time. On the 17th day, that which was impossible became possible. When we allow God to just work what he wants to work, do what he wants to do. Hey, with this hurricane coming up, you know what? All God's got to do is just say, be still. He can bring it right up to the shore and say, be still. Amen. And matter of fact, I'm praying that's what it does. Lord, how in the world could anybody refuse that you're God at that point? But then you get on Facebook and you understand there's a bunch of them that still will. But God wants to show out in our life. And God has victory. Hey, we're not trying to strive for victory. We're living from victory. Again, we find out here as he tells us, here is Ezekiel 15. We find it as all this has taken place now, and the children of Israel has gone through what was certain death. They went to the other side. Their enemy has all been taken care of. God's killed them all. God's taken care of the situation. He showed up and he showed out. And what happened here? Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. And I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And he goes through all that took place, and then they stop the last verse of it in verse 21. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has he thrown into the sea. Hey, that was on the 17th day when God showed victory. You know what that brings me to? It brings a thought in my mind over here. As I was reading that, I got to thinking about over here in 1 Corinthians and verse number 15, or chapter 15, verse 51. The Bible said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortality put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Amen. The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, they were facing death, but they were able to go through that death. That's where we got to get to. Man, hey, you know how you submit to God? You got to die to self. The most difficult thing in the world to do is die to self and trust God. But he wants us to. He desires us to. He proved to us that, hey, he'll show up, he'll show out. You know what happened again on another 17th day of the first month? The Bible tells us in Leviticus about how this is the Passover, the celebration of the Passover in Leviticus 23 and verse 5. He says that on this day, on the 14th day of the month, which is the first day of the, or the first month of the new year for them, as their calendar began to start. Hey, this is the third time of this significant day was chosen. this time to fulfill the picture drawn from years before. On the 17th day of the month, on the first month of the Jewish sacred year, God broke the bars of the tomb for our justification and raised his only begotten Son from the dead. Jesus was crucified on the occasion of the celebration of the Passover, which came on the 14th day of the month. He was eating the Passover with his disciples. We know that their day starts at 6 p.m. and goes to 6 p.m. That's the Jewish day. So as they ate the Passover supper, and then he had that time with his disciples, and he was betrayed by Judas, and he was turned over to the high priest, and then he was turned over to Pilate, and then he was crucified. And then he gave up the ghost. He died. He laid his life down. Then he was buried for 3 days. Resurrection. The 17th day, there was victory.
Amen.
As they went to the tomb where he had laid, and they looked in and they couldn't find him. As Mary turned and she talked to who she thought was the gardener, she said, "Where have you taken him? Tell me where you've taken him. I'll go. I'll get him." But all she was talking to, the very one that she was looking for. She was talking to the one that showed victory. The one that overcame death and the grave. Overcame hell. And now he's seated on the right hand of the Father. And you know what he's got? He's got the keys to hell. Brother Samuel said that Satan is probably the worst businessman I've ever heard of. Why, he don't even have a key to his own place of business. Somebody else has it. Why, it's him. He showed up and he showed out. With Joseph, why Joseph shows so much, and as far as typology goes, talking about Christ. You know, when he was 17 years old, his father sent him out to the fields to check on his brethren. His brethren refused him. His brethren wanted to kill him. His brethren didn't want anything to do with him. So they devised a plan. They put him in a hole there, and they were talking about they were going to kill him, do away with him. Well, that's showing a picture of God, as of Christ, as he left the Father and he come to this earth. He wound up in the grave, but just as Joseph was taken out of that pit, you know who he went to? He wound up with Gentiles. When Jesus resurrected from the dead, you know who he went to? The Gentiles. Because his own received him not. 17. He, you know what, as Joseph went on, Joseph shows a picture of Christ when he comes back to earth a second time, and he rules and reigns and he has everything. He owns every speck of everything. He has all the houses, he has all the land, he has all the businesses, he has all the livestock, he has everything. He controls all the monies. You know his daddy come back into the picture? You know how long he was there? For 17 years. Say, what's that got to do with anything? Well, it shows victory. When Jesus came the first time, there was victory. He had to suffer. He had to die. But he brought victory. And when he comes back again, it'll be victory.
Amen.
He won't be suffering. He won't take the beating. But he'll be the man of war. And he's going to reign triumphantly. There'll be victory for the believers. There'll be victory for you and I. Man, it just goes on and on and on. You can run that thread throughout the Bible in 17. And man, I'm telling you, it's just eat up with victory. And some of the saddest looking people you see say they're Christians. Man, are you saying, oh, yeah, man, I'm saying, good night, man. I'm saying, we act like it's a drag to be saved. And I'm talking to me, too. I mean, I'm not excluding me. But, man, we shouldn't. We ought to be the happiest people on the planet. Because we are victorious. We serve a God that's victorious over everything. He knows all. He has all. He has all strength. He has all power. We've read the back of the book. We win.
Amen.
That song, "I'm on the winning side," that's not talking about that we are winning at the moment. That's talking about we have won. It's over. We have victory. Man, I'm telling you, one old boy, he used to talk, he said, "All we ought to have a pep in the step. When we show up wherever we go, I'm telling you, we ought to have a pep in our step. People ought to look and say, what's his deal? Don't he know all that's going on in the world? Don't he know that Trump is our president and we're doomed forever?" Well, guess what? We got Jesus.
Amen.
Thank God we got Trump, but we got Jesus.
Amen.
We got one better. You know, this girl, God bless her, she put on there the other day, I think I read it last night or something. I don't go on Facebook much anymore because I get depressed. And then I don't have that pep. And but she said, y'all need to wake up and realize what's going on. Trump hates immigrants. And now he's got Irma headed straight into Miami that is covered up with immigrants. I'm like, yeah, he's a pretty powerful guy, but he ain't got that much power, people. Come on. But you know what? We do serve the one that does have that power.
Amen.
We got the one. I'm telling you, he's got it all. We was up there in meeting Sunday night. I'm telling you, Lord, that's the prayingest church I think I ever been to. 15 minutes before service, they're in prayer rooms praying. They come out of there into the auditorium. They gather around the altar and pray. After the choir comes down, they go back to the altar, gather around the altar, and have another altar prayer. And while the man of God's up preaching, folks will be down in the altar praying. I mean, he's the oldest living stringer that we know of, men. Stringer men don't usually live to be too old. And I said, ain't no wonder. Man, I'll probably live to be 100. Way them people praying all the time. And then you go down there and they're anointing you with oil and praying over you. And I'm telling you, I mean, but you know what? You go in there, I'm telling you, you'd think every one of them people were crazy. Because, man, I'm telling you, they love God and they love each other and they're happy all the time. I'm like, wow, man, this is awesome. But you know what? It's a lot like, well, here, y'all just love each other and uphold each other and pray for each other. I mean, the time we've been here, I've not heard anybody cut another one. And that's rare in a church. Sometimes you get to acting like you love the Lord. That's rare in a Baptist church anymore. Hey. We got victory.
Amen.
Let's purpose in our heart that we'll show the world that we got victory.
Amen.
When the volleyball team is losing, we can still rejoice because we got victory.
Amen.
Hey, if you go through and follow that seven, you know what you wind up with? The 24th Psalm. It's victory. It's victory all the way through. I'm glad I'm on the winning side.
Hey,
Brother Mike.